Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me over to the book of Esther, chapter number 5. And, of course, you know the book of Esther. It's during the post-exile period. And chapters 2 through 4, Esther has ascended to the throne. And Mordecai and Haman, they've gotten into a little bit of a shoving match there, and Haman decided to take it very personally, and he got together with the king and says, "Hey, you know, there's a bunch of vagabonds. They're nothing but a drain on society. I tell you what, let me pay you, say, 2/3 of the annual tax revenue, and let me have the authority to have these people killed." And the king said, 2/3? That's about $60 million worth of our money today there, DJ. So he says, let's do it. Didn't even bother to ask who they were. And didn't know that he'd actually just signed his own wife's death warrant there. Well, the law has been written. Mordecai has gone there on the street in chapter number 4, and he's been crying his eyes out. And finally got Esther's attention. They've gone back and forth, and he has convinced her she needs to do something. She's got the king's ear. So I trust I've stalled enough by now. You found Esther chapter number 5. If you'll please stand in the honor of reading Father's holy word. And we're going to read the first 8 verses. "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given to thee even to the half of the kingdom." Let me just pause right there and say that's just a very polite way of saying, tell me what you want. He wasn't really expecting to have to give her that much, but he was willing to give her some. Verse 4, "And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, and he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said." The Lord being our helper, we'd like to bring our sermon tonight on this thought: stuck in neutral. Stuck in neutral. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time of sermon here, Lord, and for each one of us that stands to bring your holy word tonight. Father, we can't do it without you. We've got to have you, Lord, or it's just a waste of time. And you know me, I'm a coward as is, so I can't stand up here by myself, Lord. I need you. So we're asking, Father, for your help, Lord, please. We thank you, Lord, once again for the good time that we had there at the preacher's meeting this morning. Pray, Lord, everyone made it home safely from that. No, Brother Steve had a long way to go there, but thank you, God, for the fellowship that we had. And we do pray, Father, for once again for your blessings upon this service here. And as Pastor said, those who are going to be watching later or listening later on sermon audio, Lord, that everyone will get to hear what they need to hear from these sermons. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, stuck in neutral. As I was reading these scriptures here, and I got this idea that basically Esther, she's kind of stuck in neutral here. And when you're stuck in neutral in your car, you're revving that engine for all it's worth, and it ain't going nowhere. Yeah, right. And let's be honest, we've all pretty much done it. Whether it was when we first started to learn how to drive a car, or recently, we've done something like that. And Esther here If we just were to sit down and read from chapter 1 through here to chapter number 5, we assume that, you know, maybe a year or two has gone by. Esther's actually been there as queen for about 15 years at this point. She's not a newbie. She's been around the block. But for some reason, she just can't seem to get it in gear. Something has caused her to not be able to do what she wants to do here. And if you go back to chapter number 4 very specifically, you find that what's needed of her, what Mordecai requests of her, is that she would take and go to the king on behalf of the Jews to ask for their lives.
Amen.
As she goes on to say later on in the book, it's not a matter they were sold for slaves, it's a matter they are sold to be executed.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done, and as Mordecai said, it's possible that you have been put in this place for such a time as this.
Amen.
Church, when we have been put into our place that God would have us to be, it is for such a time as this. Amen. But our problem is, sometimes, DJ, we get it stuck in neutral.
Yes.
And we can't go forward.
Yes.
I see here three things where Esther is having problems getting it to go forward. If you back up with me over to chapter number 4 and verse number 16, Esther sends this message to Mordecai. And she says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Man, it sounds like she's got something going good here. She says, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to do it. I have decided I'm going to get going. She's jumped in her car, and she's ready to take off. Brett, do you know that the name of God is not listed here in the book of Esther? But did you also know that there's a four-letter word that you will not find here in any of its variations in the book of Esther? It's the word pray. Now, we see here that she fasted, and we assume that that also includes that they did some praying. The problem is, church, that there is no specific mention of it. Dare I say that if we were to continue to liken this to a car, we've got ourselves the best car possible. It has all the room inside we need for us. It's got a full tank of gas. Say amen, Brother Brett. It's got a brand new battery in there. It's got all of its fluids that are topped off, ready to go.
Yes.
But DJ, there's one little problem. The power is turned off.
Yeah.
You see, you can have all that stuff there. You can have your car fully packed, ready to go, and you're sitting behind the driver's wheel, but until you turn the power on,
yeah,
you ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Ain't gonna happen. Now Esther here, she's gone and she's done some fasting. That's great. That's like taking and making sure the car's got a full tank of gas to it. The problem is she ain't done no visible praying that we can see. Now we know God's providential hand is on the move. We see it front to back there in the book of Esther.
Yeah.
But what we don't see is her getting it in gear by turning the power on. And last time I checked, these newfangled cars nowadays, you can't move it into gear if the power's off. And that got me to thinking about over there in Matthew chapter number 7. You don't got to turn there, but verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you.
Amen.
Seek and ye shall find.
Amen.
Knock, it shall be opened unto you. As pastor says repeatedly, these are prayers and imperatives. Things that we are continually to be doing. Commandments that we're always supposed to be carrying out. Church, she didn't do no praying there. Church, she didn't bother to get a hold of God so she could stick the key in the ignition and turn that car over and get going. And when we do the exact same thing in our own lives, it doesn't matter how good of intentions we've got, we ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
I remember the day I gave Pastor the first draft of my book. Very first thing out of his mouth was, have you prayed over it real good? Yeah. I looked at him and said, yes, sir, I have. You see, I wanted that book to succeed. And I knew in order for it to succeed, Miss Laura, it had to be prayed over. Now, I may not have sat down and wrote that book cover to cover in one sitting, but every time I sat down to write a little bit of it, every time I sat down to do some studying about it, I needed to do some praying about it. Because while I had the destination in mind, while I knew what the Lord would have me to do, I needed His power. I needed fresh anointing. Or as it says up here on the pulpit, fresh oil from above. I had to turn the power on, church. Don't leave it stuck in neutral by having the power off. Number two, we see here, do we have it stuck in neutral? Because we've got protracted linkage. That word protracted means stretched out. I had a truck one time, and you drop it down there to drive, and you got that line smack dab on that D. It ain't going nowhere. Brett, it was a neutral, weren't it? You see, the linkage had been protracted. He had to pull it down so that line was almost onto the fourth gear before the transmission's finally in drive.
Yeah.
It had gotten stretched out of place. Verse number 4 of Esther chapter number 5 says, "And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Now, when we back up there to verse number 1 and verse number 2, we find that Esther's gone in unto the king, and she has stood back here, and she's looked at the king. The king has looked at her, and he says, "That's my wife. Let me hold out that golden scepter to her." And she comes over there, and she touches the top of it, and because she touched the top of that golden scepter, she's got all the permission in the whole world. She's got all the authority standing behind her, and she's standing upon it to say what is on her mind.
Amen.
And what does she do with it? Haman's not there. The king says, "Cause Haman to come." The king could have easily said, "Hey, Haman, come on, let's go. We're going to this banquet." No, he says, "Cause Haman to come. Hey, go fetch Haman so he can come to this banquet too." Haman wasn't there, church. It's her and the king. And she had the golden opportunity to say what was on her heart. "Hubby, I'm a Jew. You've signed my death warrant. Please do something about it." She couldn't do it, church. You see, like that protracted linkage that's got you stuck there and you think you're in drive, but really it's actually still in neutral.
Yeah.
What has happened is we are not living the correct faith. See, she remembered back in verse 13 of chapter number 4 there how she had not been able to come in to her own husband for the last 30 days. And Brother Terrence, I believe this is a woman who's sitting there thinking to herself, "But I did something wrong before. My husband hasn't wanted me for 30 days. Not to even say hello to me. Not to bring me a flower for nothing for 30 days. She's looking at her past failures. And she's putting more faith in those past failures than she is in the God who's her only hope. And it reminded me over there in the book of Habakkuk. In chapter number 2, verse 4, the prophet writes, "Behold his soul which is lifted up." Now, those two words, "lifted up," means it's been out of shape. "Is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith."
Yes, sir.
You see, if she had taken and she had gotten herself together there and she had done some praying and she'd have been trusting in the Lord thy God and she'd been leaning not unto her own understanding, but she'd have been leaning unto the Lord her God, then perhaps she wouldn't have gone in there and said, "I want you to come to a banquet." Now, DJ, I got a feeling that when it comes down to it here, she had set up that banquet, she had it ready to go because she was expecting to celebrate deliverance. But when she got right up to him, she became a shrinking violet. Church, when we get right up to doing something for God, and it's humongous in our eyes. And just like the Israelites, we're but grasshoppers in their eyes.
Yeah.
And we lose sight of it. I could have had that book done a whole lot sooner. I had at least a 2 month span there where I wrote nothing at all, because I got focused on, you know what, this is just Dennis. It's just Dennis. And I had faith in me that I'm nothing but a failure. I had faith in me that I can't do it. But every time I get my eyes back on God, every time I get that faith shifted down into drive and out of neutral, things would begin to flow. The Lord would send reminders about how He had commissioned me to do the job. And He would send songs that would be right on time, so as it would be an encouragement to my heart. There would be a conversation on the radio that would be right exactly what it is that I needed to get me going again. All because of just dropping it down a little bit further so it's actually in drive, church. Are we willing to get past that protracted linkage, get it down there in the drive? Thirdly here, let me just say, sometimes the parking brake's on. Think about that. We've got that parking brake on, and we're flooring it, and she ain't going nowhere. The engine's RPMs are just about maxed. We're about ready to blow that engine. Car ain't going nowhere. It's the parking brake's on. Verse number 8. Once again, finds Esther having the opportunity to tell the king what it is she needs. She's already had two opportunities to tell him. When she first saw him there in his royal court, when she saw him there in the banquet. Now here we are. Verse 8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, king, deliver my people. No. Let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Twice now, church. She has said the exact same thing to the king. Twice she has been asked, what do you want? You know what's going on there in 4 and 5 though? Both times Haman's there. Yeah. Haman wasn't there the first time they're in the royal court. But Haman's there now. Now, Haman hadn't directly threatened her life as far as he was concerned, because he was after Mordecai and the Jews. He didn't know that Esther was a Jew. Well, he wanted to kill Mordecai, that's for sure. But she was staring the problem in the face. Church, the Bible tells us over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Colon. That colon there tells us we are having a change of thought, but we're staying on the same subject.
Right.
The same subject being, Isaiah is getting ready to tell us, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear.
Yeah.
Sin is the same thing as putting on that parking brake. We are going to stop ourselves cold every single time we do it.
Yeah.
We start playing around with sin. And we get focused on that. Oh, I got to watch that hourglass there. I can't. I got to make sure I'm doing everything correctly here and not everything correctly there. Oh, I've got to hurry and get all these little assignments done. But I'm denying what God would have me to do. Oh, I got my eye on that, and I shouldn't. Man, we were talking about those cars. You know, the first thing went through my mind, DJ? Dodge Viper. Brett will tell you I love them. Man, I could really go for one of them. And I get my mind focused on that, I'm going to have me some problems. I get focused on my sin. I get focused on the fact that I have failed repeatedly. I get focused on the fact that this particular temptation works on me every single time. It's like, well, God, I can't win as is, so I'm just going to go ahead and go off into it. And I throw that parking brake on.
Come on.
And I get nothing done for God.
Amen.
She is here now. She has been asked, what do you want? She has the opportunity. And again, she puts it off till tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed our next breath. We have to take advantage of the opportunity while it's here and now.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. The book hasn't sold as well as I had imagined. It hasn't led to the things that I would have hoped that it would do. And yes, I have focused on that a little bit. I've written some stuff down for a couple of other books. I've got notes for another three or four things. But I've just let them sit. I've thrown that parking brake on because I'm procrastinating.
Yeah.
I've thrown that parking brake on because I find everything else to do instead. When God says, you've been put in this place for this time and this purpose, when are you going to do it? Matthew 7:7 says to ask, seek, and knock.
Yes, sir.
Start asking to get that power turned on.
Yes.
Seek to straighten out your faith. So that you can get it in proper gear and go and knock off that sin that is holding you back, that you just love to indulge in, instead of doing what God would have you to do. Otherwise, you're never going to see results. In summary, I would put it this way, church, with just one simple question. And this is something we each need to ask ourselves. Do we really want to go anywhere for God?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to stand here and bring your word tonight. And we do pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to make up our minds. Are we willing and ready to do something for you? Or are we just more content to stay back and, well, deal with the consequences later? I know that certainly hurts to do that. And Lord, I ask for your help, Lord, to get moving in my own life on what you've commissioned me to do. I do pray, Lord, for my brothers as they will be standing up here in the next few minutes to also bring your word. Help them, Father, to present the word the way that you'd have them to. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.